Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, which is episode number 100, everybody raise your bats and like praise yourself and look at the stadium, etc.
Yes, thank you PUBG and Fortnite.
Yes.
What bats? You mean frying pans, am I right?
Yep. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about PUBG and Fortnite. No, we're not. We're actually going to be talking about a fighting game, which actually a lot of people in India care about, even if you may not have heard from them for some time.
Smash Ultimate? Oh yeah. Wait, no, that's not a fight.
What?
Yeah.
Take that back.
It's an action-adventure game, isn't it?
Take that back, you haters.
Shadow of the Smash Brothers.
World of Light Edition. Anyway, jokes and lulls aside, ARM Games editor Rishi Alwani, and with me is our host Pranay Parab.
Yep, that's
and
me.
And friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madan.
Yes.
And today we're going to be talking about everyone's favorite fighting game that's not Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, come on, man. That was Injustice.
No, I thought Super Street Fighter 4. But yeah.
Isn't it Ultra Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition Final Remix?
Why not Yakuza 0?
32GB.
What?
Realme 2.
What?
Yeah, isn't that what the Street Fighter 4 final version was called?
Well, come on, man. Is this like your resume to apply at Capcom, because they'd hire you on the spot for branding?
I don't think Capcom makes like Android ROMs or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I really want to play Mortal Kombat 11 on a Redmi Note 6 Pro.
Okay,
you probably might be able to, because like we'll get to it in a bit, but Warner Brothers usually has mobile tie-ins or mobile editions of their mainline fighting releases. They had something with Injustice, they had something with Mortal Kombat. Both of them were pretty terrible, like the mobile versions, but yeah. So like Mortal Kombat 11 apparently is going to be revealed very soon.
Yeah, so what's happening this week is something called the Game Awards, where a bunch of games that, you know, weren't quite ready for E3 or Gamescom get revealed. Rumor has it, and a very strong one at that, that we'll probably see NetherRealms, the studio behind Mortal Kombat, announce Mortal Kombat 11. The leak is fairly detailed. It has information regarding the development time, which is like 1 year in conceptualization, which is incredibly long for a Mortal Kombat game. And 3 years of actual development. It talks about how there's a proper story mode, which we've seen in past Mortal Kombat games like 9 and 10. In addition to something known as Adventure Mode, which is basically Shaolin Monks. Now, for those of you young uns in the crowd, Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks is by far the greatest co-op game of all time. Fight me, IRL. What you essentially do is you go across like a bunch of hellish landscapes from the Mortal Kombat universe, beating the crap out of enemies as Liu Kang and one or two other characters from the series. And it's pretty cool. Kung Lao, that too. And it's pretty cool. It was a drop and drop out co-op experience for the PS2. And it was very arcadey, a lot of fun. And one of those rare games you don't see anymore, which is why it's really cool to see that, which is why I'd love this leak to be true, that this is a part of Mortal Kombat 11. Mm-hmm. In addition to this, we've also heard information that in that mode, you'll have a customizable character. So weapons, moveset, looks, items, all that can be customized and used. One part of it, which was really a bit disturbing, is that there are daily boxes you can buy. Let's hope that's not a microtransaction-fueled nightmare. And there's also going to be the usual multiplayer modes and single-player modes. And the story this time around revolves around Raiden punishing anyone who comes even close to the Earth Realm. And there's an Emperor Liu Kang and Empress Katana who are searching for artifacts belonging to an old god. Seems interesting. Par for the course in terms of wacky storytelling. And which is why, I mean, and it's also a good chance it could be true, because the last Mortal Kombat game was 2015?
Mortal Kombat 10 or Mortal Kombat X, depending on how you look at it. Probably like X, because we had Mortal Kombat XL release as the quote-unquote complete edition of it. And that was originally supposed to show up on PS3, 360, PS4, Xbox One. But the last gen at the time versions were delayed, and then they were eventually cancelled, and it just came out on PS4 and Xbox One. Pretty fantastic, like great post-launch support and all that, except there was like some, like we had the game early, and mm-hmm. there were some issues with how it handled the unlock system for what you get in game. So like the Mortal Kombat games, at least the recent ones, usually have this thing called the crypt, which you can use your in-game currency to unlock stuff, except the crypt over here was like a first-person dungeon crawler, and you moved like grid by grid, and you unlocked various things, which was like either concept art, music. I think fatalities and all that stuff also. And I believe Mortal Kombat 10 was the one which had you could pay for getting easy fatalities, which caused a lot of controversy. And the when I say easy, it's a little interesting because the fatalities themselves are like super easy. Like if you can input the normal combos or the normal special moves, you can do the fatality. And it's not even like people are going to pay to like just know how to do it, because you can just Google and get this information anyway. So Mortal Kombat 10, while like XL right now is really great, like there were some issues. In fact, you ended up buying the crypt unlock key by mistake or something on Xbox, and you used your... So Microsoft at the time, they had a one-time only refund which they give you, and you ended up using that up for this, right?
Yeah, so it was a weird situation because they had... you could unlock everything in the crypt, which I found weird, and you had to pay to do it.
$20.
Yeah, and what was funny is that it was easy to buy and surprisingly easy to refund at the time. But what was interesting was, I mean, aside from, you know, more... And that's the thing with Mortal Kombat games. They, off late, they tend to be stuffed with so much that people tend to overlook some of the scummy things that get put in, like microtransactions, like the fact that you have easy fatalities, and like the fact that you're eventually going to have like a season's worth of content bundled as a season pass and DLC.
Also, what was interesting is when Mortal Kombat 10 or X released, we just had one edition of the game in terms of content. I think the collector's edition had the Combat Pack 1 or Combat Pass or whatever they called it. But it wasn't like confusing as such. It's kind of how you should do a fighting game, where you do one edition, which is the base game, and you do one which has like the first season pass. Because now every fighting game which releases is not just going to have one set of characters and you move on to the next one. They're going to do like multiple, at least the bigger ones. Like Arc System Works will do their own thing where you like buy one season pass and that's it. Then they do the next game. But then they have like a much quicker turnaround time than NetherRealm, even Bandai Namco for that matter. So at the time, I remember the copy I bought of Mortal Kombat 10 didn't actually include Goro. And the only way you could get Goro was through pre-ordering. Or it was pretty scummy where you literally had Goro in the character select, and every time you moved your cursor over it, it told you to buy it. So that was a little like, you know, I guess like that was the beginning of the dark ages for how a few people viewed Mortal Kombat as a franchise, because you never had that kind of stuff in your face over there. They even had like they even had some stuff on the main menu, I remember, which annoyed a lot of people. But yeah, as you said, they pack it with so much good content that a lot of people overlook these things. And they did have a collector's edition which came with a pretty decent scorpion statue. I have that at home, and it had the game. That eventually ended up getting Combat Pack 1, which had characters. Combat Pack 2 was added later on, and all of this was included on disc for Mortal Kombat XL. Now, Mortal Kombat 10 launched at $3,499 in India.
Yep.
And Mortal Kombat XL was supposed to be full price outside, but because EXPress Interactive, Warner Brothers distributor, as of this recording, still current distributor, they managed doing very good pricing for the Ultimate Editions as such. So, or the complete editions, I'd say. So Shadow of War Definitive Edition, which was $60 abroad, was $2,499 here. And in fact, it is on two discs over here, unlike the US release. Mortal Kombat XL was also $60 abroad when it released, because it had two combat packs and all the patches on disc. That was also $2,499 here. So it's while the initial release will probably be more corresponding towards Injustice 2's price, which was $3,999 or $3,499 or $3,799, because for some reason, like a lot of these recent releases have been like fluctuating in price here and there,
yeah,
MRP wise. But Injustice 2 made quite a few mistakes when it comes to not just like in-game customization, but also the additions. But before we get into that.
Yeah, so that's also one thing to keep in mind, right? Like while Mortal Kombat has historically had a very good price for India, Mike's very right in saying it's more likely to follow Injustice 2's pricing for a couple of reasons. One, it's not 2015 anymore, so the dollar fluctuation is real, the thirst is real. We've seen situations where games were announced at a certain MRP and then price had hiked later. We've seen this with Battlefield 5, FIFA 19, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And right now also, if you look at it, for most of, I mean, except for a handful of upcoming games in 2019, we don't have pricing for a lot of them yet, at least officially. Which is why, yeah, I mean, it's safe to say day one price on Mortal Kombat 11, when it's out, would probably be in that 4,000 range. And depending on how soon our good friends at Amazon and Flipkart discount it, we'll see discounts across the board. And now that some might feel that to be a frivolous statement that, oh, you know, lol, Amazon, Flipkart will discount, then only it'll happen. But it's actually been true for the last 5 to 6 games.
Except Red Dead Redemption 2, which actually went higher in price because of...
supply.
Yeah, because of supply issues, which affected only Amazon and Flipkart online. So, because like... and Paytm, I'd say. But then, like, who buys games from Paytm?
Yeah, apparently people do. But...
yeah, I'm one of them. Sometimes I've bought.
But then you don't play games, Pranay.
There we go.
Wasn't that your New Year's resolution to read more?
Yeah.
Anyway, so point is, we've seen a situation where games like Hitman 2... Games like even Injustice had a price drop. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. A lot of relatively new games have seen price drops via online sites and even offline, if you know where to look, within the first couple of weeks. And it's not just limited to games from Express, right? Even Call of Duty Black Ops 4 had the same situation as well.
Even Sony stuff, like the moment any game gets bundled. In fact, that's another thing we need to discuss because... Mortal Kombat 10 didn't have console bundles as far as I remember.
It
so Mortal Kombat, like, since then, you usually have, like, every fighting game, I'd say, like, the newer ones have a tie-up with one of the console manufacturers. Like, Dragon Ball FighterZ was shown off by Xbox, and it was, like, promoted with that. But we didn't actually have bundles for that game. Tekken 7 saw a ton of PS4 bundles, which even made it over here. And Tekken's like historically been a PlayStation franchise, so it kind of made sense to do that. Mortal Kombat remains to be seen, but I can speculate that it'll be with Xbox.
I don't think there'll be any tie-in because at the end of the day, the franchise is big enough to stand on its own. And let's be honest, the only console we could ever have an MK tie-up with is the Sega Genesis or Mega Drive. But hey, that's not a thing.
No, I'm just saying because like you say that, but then we have bundles for Call of Duty, we have bundles for Red Dead, we have bundles for Battlefield, and like, are you saying those are smaller than Mortal Kombat?
Obviously, they have no fatalities, 0 on 10,
and none that you can buy to make it easy.
There we go.
I'm pretty sure Battlefield has some of that stuff because I was looking at the purchase. For some reason, the Xbox store still says pre-order Battlefield 5 and I'm like, it's already been discounted like worldwide, but whatever. There are a ton of things you can buy for that game. But Mortal Kombat 11, I still think there'll be a bundle with some manufacturer or like there'll be a marketing deal or something.
No, man, it'll be on the Switch, dude. Switch port.
If Injustice 2, like, considering they will use Unreal Engine, likely it is possible that it'll be Unreal Engine 4 because no one's going to release a game using Unreal Engine 3 right now. And if it is Unreal Engine 4, they might actually do it on Switch because Mortal Kombat 9 at the time, it ran... It was on Vita. It was 30 FPS granted versus 60 on the consoles at the time. But it was a very good port. In fact, like, I think it's the first Vita game I bought when I got the system. And even Injustice made it there. The fact is, the Switch hasn't had a NetherRealm game yet because NetherRealm hasn't released a game since the Switch released, as far as I remember.
Yes, that's pretty much true. And honestly, rumor has it that, yes, this is going to be developed on Unreal Engine 4, which could make a Switch release likely. What's fascinating, though, is while, you know, you can count on NetherRealm to give you a decent story, you can also count on them to have some grindy influences because what we saw with Injustice 2 was an incremental step up from what they did with the crypt system, wherein you had Gears, which could basically modify your playstyle.
Yeah, but Gears is an Xbox exclusive, man.
Leave. No, so it's a Gears system. Sorry, Pranay.
Customization.
Yeah, which gives you like a small stat boost to your characters. And I mean, at the end of the day, you could also buy those, right? So it'll be interesting to see how they manage that aspect and where they put that. I mean, knowing them, they'd want to put that in. And why I'm a little skeptical about Mortal Kombat 11's monetization is for one simple reason and one simple reason alone. Where at that time of the life cycle of consoles and in the industry in general, where we're seeing fewer and fewer big budget releases each month. We're seeing games run for a longer period of time as quote-unquote, and I hate the term, services. And when you're in that phase, it's only likely that, you know, when you know that there's only a limited audience, you want to make sure they spend more than the usual $50, $60 for a game. And with that in mind, it'll be interesting to see how they carve up Mortal Kombat 11. Because we've seen it with other fighting games too, right? We've seen it with BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. We've seen it with Street Fighter V, wherein content gets doled over a period of time. To its credit, Soul Calibur 6 has been pretty decent in that respect.
It's been really good. Like, in fact, Soul Calibur 6 is one of the more recent and one of the rarer fighting games which actually has two quote-unquote story modes. One is your traditional story mode, and one is, like, it kind of reminds me of the what we're seeing in the rumor for Mortal Kombat 11, where you have a custom character and you play as that and you live out your own, whatever, your own adventure as such. So, but yeah, Soul Calibur 6 is, it's like really, really good, except the Xbox One X version has like a lot of menu lag and stuff like that. We probably won't see that with NetherRealm games because, also another thing to talk about with NetherRealm is whether PC is going to happen day one or not. Now, before getting into that, yeah, the Injustice 2 system, Injustice's gear system, it actually had like various aspects you could add to customize your character's appearance and give you some stat boost. But the problem with that is it's sort of good and bad, because when you play ranked, it disabled all the actual stat boosts and it was just cosmetic, which is always fair. But if you're doing all this customization, like, no one cares about this for single player stuff. You'd want to do all this stuff when you're playing against other people. But if they left that enabled, it would kind of become pay to win. So they at least like had that aspect controlled. But I don't think we'll actually see paid loot boxes, because like the industry sort of moved away from that.
I don't know. While I'd like to believe that's the case, we also have certain publishers trying to fight countries to ensure loot boxes are a thing.
No,
hey, what's up?
I think they'll be there in some extent, but it's not going to be like how, like, okay, so remember Shadow of War, how they removed all that stuff? I think Warner Brothers has quote-unquote learned their lesson to that extent. It'll have microtransactions for sure. I cannot imagine a situation in which a fighting game that releases today does not have any, because everything, as in BlazBlue Crosstag Battle, has. But I don't think it's going to be, like, you know, straight up buy loot boxes for costumes and stuff like that. They might pull what Dragon Ball FighterZ has, because it technically has loot boxes. You can use capsules using in-game currency and all. But Namco is smart. They don't let you actually buy that stuff with real money. You earn a ton of it and they give you rewards with it. You can earn customizations, lobby avatars and stuff like that. But you don't actually get to spend money on it. But then Dragon Ball FighterZ is like based on Dragon Ball, which is super popular. And they did have multiple editions just like Injustice, but then the Dragon Ball editions were actually good. You had like one base game, one game with the season pass, which was had a ton of content, and one which had like an anime music pack, because they need to pay to license that stuff separately. Injustice 2 had a standard edition which had Darkseid pre-order, deluxe edition which had a few characters, and it had some customizations or whatever. It had in-game currency, I forget what it's called, also source crystals, I believe, or something like that. Then you had the gold edition. After that, they had an ultimate edition which came with its own like source crystals and all the characters and all, and it still didn't have all the content. So that's kind of not what should happen over here.
Yeah, but then here's the other thing, right? I mean, if we also go by what's been leaked, and this part is interesting, Johnny Cage, Goro, Sonya, Kano, Baraka, Melina, Ferran, Tor are 100% not playable. Which would mean, hey, that opens up the opportunity to bring them in later.
See, that exactly was my question. The Goro is the character that like is super boss mode type.
Yeah, right? I mean, like most popular for getting punched in the crotch in the Mortal Kombat movie, which was epic.
Yes.
Best soundtrack of all time.
Yeah, the first one.
Yes, yeah. The best soundtrack of all time.
Yeah, so I think the last Mortal Kombat game I played was Mortal Kombat 4. Yeah,
that was the worst one.
Like, yeah, like leave.
I remember buying
that 3D so bad.
Buying that game day one on PC at the time.
I bought it for PlayStation 1.
Yeah,
it was an original PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah.
And at the time when, you know, you could buy PlayStation 1 games for a 10th or 20th of the price because piracy, I actually paid for an original copy.
Yeah, so you know what? Like, I actually like
the one which had Quan Chi and Shinnok as introduced those characters.
Yeah, when you die, you go into those pits and it's like you get impaled. And
That game was so bad.
It was horrible, but I liked one thing about it is that if you picked Raiden, you could spam that one attack where he like flies at the person with
plot twist. Yeah. You can pick Sub Zero, you can spam freeze, and if you pick Scorpion, you can spam.
Yeah, so you could spam and basically win the entire game. And I was horrible at fighting games at that time. Not like I'm much better now, but at least
you're going to play Smash, dude. you're the Smash champion of Mumbai.
Pranay is going to buy a Switch to play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and main Bayonetta.
I mean, why buy a Switch when you already have one?
Oh.
I stole someone else's Switch.
Well played.
Are you a PC gamer?
Not yet.
Okay then, so back on topic. Please tell me what is happening with the portable scene for Mortal Kombat, the latest
one. So honestly, if you want to play Mortal Kombat portably, there are a couple of iOS versions which are dismal at best. They look really nice, but they're dismal. The controls are basically not controls.
Yeah, it's basically you just keep tapping to do whatever combos and all that. And then like at some point, there'll be a QTE for a fatality or something.
Yeah, right now, the best way to play it portably would be picking up, I think, MK9 on the Vita.
Yeah.
Or if you have a PS4, probably do remote play on MK10 and Injustice 2. I mean, essentially. But I don't think there's anything.
No, remote play for fighting games is not really an option there because of input lag and all there that stuff. Go. But yeah, if you want to play a proper version of Mortal Kombat on portable, you have to get Mortal Kombat 9 on Vita or hope when they release Mortal Kombat 11, it'll be on Switch day one.
Yep.
Because they probably will put it on Switch for sure. Whether it's day one or not remains to be seen. But then
here's the thing. What? And this is like the only thing we should try finding out.
What?
Is that if it comes to Switch, is the icon for telling you how much you have to download going to be bigger than the box art?
Yeah, that's also something because, like,
I mean, this is the Warner Brothers. Yeah, thought it was a good idea to put, you know, like microtransactions in Shadow of War.
Injustice 2 was like 45 or I think it's 52 GB right now, yep. And I don't even own any of the DLC on Xbox yet. Mortal Kombat will likely be that size, if not more, because now if you have two story modes, you need that much more voice acting. So, yep. And plus, there's going to be a lot of cutscenes. What I do want to see is if they retain X-rays.
Oh, yeah.
Or how they evolve that. And I hope, like, at least this time they... I don't know what made them decide to do 30 FPS X-rays last time for quote-unquote cinematic, but it was pretty jarring when literally everything in the game was 60 FPS at the time.
True.
They should have made it, like, go all the way. It's not even like the consoles weren't powerful enough because everything else is 60 FPS. Switch version probably will be 30 FPS unless they have some magic, but then Arc System Works barely managed doing 60 FPS with an Unreal Engine 4 version of Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that while it does look really nice with the cell shading and all that, it's a pretty simple game technically. So it remains to be seen how Mortal Kombat 11, if it does show up on Switch, how it runs and how it looks. But yeah, like I'm pretty sure there's going to be a nice banner which says download required on the box, because there's no way Mortal Kombat 11 will be under 16 GB.
Yeah, and or unless, you know, Warner Bros. Actually spends for 32 gig of
cartridges. No one's done that except for Square Enix so far, which they did that for a game which failed in Japan, Dragon Ball, Dragon Quest Heroes 1 plus 2 is what they called it. And that was the only game which is on a 32 GB game card. In fact, everything else is fit on 16 GB. Some publishers cheap out and use compression to like use worse quality audio like Bandai Namco for Dark Souls Remastered. But Warner Brothers probably won't compress anything like for bad stuff. They'll just make you download it. Now that remains to be seen whether that's good or bad for you. But then there's the online question, right? Mortal Kombat Online has always been interesting. Mortal Kombat 9 had that nice lobby system,
yes,
where it simulated people playing on an arcade against each other.
I hope that comes back. I really hope that comes back, but I don't know. And what's interesting also is that with 9, surprisingly, at least on the Xbox, Xbox 360 back in the day, online play stopped working after the first month due to lack of servers. So yeah, that was a thing, at least in India. So it'd be fun to see what happens. Even though that wasn't the case with 10, it'd be fun to see what happens with 11.
All right then. So I think we are now ready to move to the games we've been playing.
Before we do that, when do you think it'll launch?
So my guess is, assuming this is accurate, and frankly, I think it is, because this isn't the first leak we've seen regarding Mortal Kombat 11. A couple of weeks ago, we had one of the Latin American voice actors called Eduardo Garza, who was pretty bummed out that he was a Latin American voice actor for Kung Lao and Reptile in Mortal Kombat 10. He basically used a specific Mortal Kombat hashtag and said that he wasn't going to be in 11. So we had that plus the 4chan leak. Plus it's the week of the Game Awards, so I think it's more or less likely going to happen. As for when it's going to come out, I mean, the way I see it, if you're announcing in December, you can easily do a June launch, maybe a little earlier.
June is not going to happen. I don't think any of these big games usually launch in E3 month or whatever. I think it'll launch in May. Injustice 2 was also April, May,
yeah,
something
so
like
I think
that.
They can easily do April, May, yeah, because what we've noticed with a lot of the bigger studios tend to follow the Bethesda Fallout 4 model, not 76, Fallout 4 model of announcing and launching quite well. So I think, and considering the fact that this has an audience, it'll do. More importantly, and what I'm more interested to see is how well this game does versus 10. Mortal Kombat 10 is that kind of game in India, at least, which has sold ridiculously well to the point where people pick up a console and, yeah, their first choice is usually a Sony exclusive like Spider-Man or God of War. Second choice is usually a fighting game. Which one? Hey, guess what? More or less Mortal Kombat. then or maybe Tekken, but it's more or less Mortal Kombat. So it'll be fun to see how many people upgrade to 11. It'll be fun to see whether the game is going to be, and I hate the words, so kill me right now, esports ready. But I have a feeling they're going to want to capitalize on that as well. So, I mean, yeah, interesting times ahead with this one.
All right then. So the games we've been playing this week. So finally, I have broken the duck of like not playing a game for multiple weeks.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to... That was a Hitman 2 reference.
No. I'll leave you to prepare, agent.
Yeah, anyway. So I've been playing the FIFA Street of Cricket games, which is Big Bash Boom. It's a game that's not officially released in India. As such, like you can't get a physical copy.
But it is available digitally on PS4,
yeah,
digitally, right?
Yeah, so it's available digitally on PS4 and Switch with if you have a European account. On the Xbox store, it's not there.
Oh, like, is this the first time a game is not available on Xbox digitally in India?
No, we don't have Firewatch. We don't have Hyperlight Drifter. We don't have... We don't have Sonic Mania. We don't have Fortnite.
In fact,
we just got Divinity 2.
Yes, Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition is available in India on Xbox. Thanks to Larian Studios actually sorting it out after some emails. But what we don't have is any of the Sega Japanese releases after Valkyria Azure Revolution.
Yep.
Because no Valkyria Chronicles 4, no Sonic Mania, no Sonic Forces, no Shining Resonance Refrain. So, and I don't think that situation will change. Firewatch is coming to Switch though.
Yes.
But December 17th. This Big Bash Boom, I'm not sure if it'll actually show up in India. They might actually do it because, you know, cricket and Xbox in India is like, half the audience for Xbox in India is in this podcast recording.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. So.
Yeah, even I have an Xbox. I keep forgetting, but I do. Anyway, so yeah, I've been playing Big Bash Boom, which has like... I mean, it's a cricket game, yes, but it's sort of funny. It's not exactly a serious cricket game as such. So the Big Bash League is, for those who don't know, it's an Australian T20 league. So 20 over matches and lots of like interesting teams there with some interesting players. But in the men's section, there's no Indian players because the BCCI does not really allow Indian cricketers to play in foreign leagues. Now, in the women's section, there are a couple of Indian players. So if you are interested in the India connection, the women's section is the one I'd recommend playing. It's called the Rebel WT20 or like women's BBL. Huh? WBBL, yeah. Rebel WBBL is the league. So... Now, this game is interesting because, you know, it's not like a typical game, cricket game like on console, such as Don Bradman or Ashes Cricket or any others that we played earlier, in the sense that there's not actually that much emphasis on realistic cricket shots and like realistic bowling, etc. They made it quite simple overall, like at least for batting. So you basically select the direction, move your batsman a little and like hit a shot. There are four types of shots you can hit, at least four and yeah, maybe eight shots, yeah. So you basically just select a random button and like it'll heal either, I mean the player will either play a defensive shot, aggressive shot, lofted shot or like a normal normal shot. So batting is pretty easy and like the whole aim of the game is to hit a bunch of sixes. Now so far I've only played the game on casual mode because I wanted to like sort of not lose, but casual mode is too easy because I managed to score some 190 runs in 5 overs or something, which is just way too much. It's just insanely high. And did not lose a wicket, yeah. So trying to figure out bowling on that, there are multiple variations in bowling as well. Pretty fun. Now, but there are a bunch of problems with this game. The first is that, you know, all the characters are actually caricatures. So like the body is small, but the head is huge. So it's like a bobblehead. That's not a problem as such, but it does mess with some animations. So now what we've seen is that, you know, there are a bunch of times when players will go to congratulate each other after like they've reached like the team score is 50 or some other event has happened. And I've seen that the hand of one player goes through the hand of another player or like, you know, goes through the body and like shows up behind the player. So that is one thing. The collision system is just not there. Secondly, I've seen players walking through umpires, through stumps. And, you know, the...
What, is this 1999 all over again? Did EA make this cricket game?
Yeah, that's what? I'm wondering. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like 2018 at all. And then, like, there are a bunch of cutscenes also in the game. So, once you, like, sort of hit a boundary or something, so there'll be some... or maybe you reach a milestone or activate a power-up, which I'll get to in a bit. There are cutscenes which play, which show, like, players just celebrating or just, like, doing some random thing. And over there, on the Nintendo Switch at least, I have noticed that there's quite a bit of stutter. Like, there's a bit of a lag over there, which is really, like, sad to see. But it happens only during the cutscenes, not during gameplay. Now, before I get to power-ups, I should mention one more thing about the gameplay. After every single delivery is bowled in this game, they show you a screen that says Big Bash Boom. And then the next delivery comes in. Like, so they've cut out on all the animations and all, like, in between where, like, the bowler is walking back to the run-up and, like, trying to start another delivery. Like after a delivery is done, like you hit a shot, it goes for a six, umpire says it's six, you see Big Bash Boom on the screen and the bowler is back to the run up and the next delivery starts. So this is very, very distracting. Like I don't like this at all. Like why would you put that splash screen in between? Unless, you know, you maybe initially thought that, okay, this is where we'll put an ad and then later made it into a console game without ads. I really can't understand the logic. So I didn't like that personally. Now, power-ups are also really interesting. Now, that makes this like pretty unrealistic. Like there are basically some power-ups that increase fielder speed. So essentially, if you hit a shot and the fielder will move much faster to stop the ball, there are power-ups that will double the amount of runs you score in a single ball. So like the opposition once like activated a power-up and they hit a six on that ball. So they got 12 runs of one delivery, which makes matches really interesting. So, you know, that power-up is also like there is a bar on top. So if you basically, if as a bowler, if you get a wicket or if you keep the score down, your power-up bar fills up. As a batsman, you like hit sixes and boundaries, then, you know, your power-up fills up. So you can activate it and then again, you have to reactivate it by like recharging that bar and all of that. So that's an interesting concept. And every time you activate a power-up, there's a really cool animation also in the game, which is really nice to see. So all these things aside, overall, I would still say that, you know, I like the game. I enjoy playing it. But again, I'm not entirely sure like why Big Ant Studios, which is the developer, is not able to fix these issues that we've noticed in Don Bradman Cricket 17 and in Ashes Cricket. Fielding AI is just like really weird. Like I've seen so many times the ball is edged and it's like close to a fielder, but the fielder starts running behind the ball.
I think a lot of it also has to do with how sports games are perceived. And if you think about it, and a lot of these issues are right. I mean, they're basically holdovers from Don Bradman 2014, not even the 2017 game, and not even Ashes. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're always trying to iterate over the same engine and same tech. And it's the same situation Mike and I have seen with the WWE games, wherein, you know, from WWE 16, 17 were okay, 18 were okay, 19 was finally when everything came together and it actually became a really good entry. And a lot of it also has to do with the dev times involved, right? Like for a game like this, the way you've described it, I'm not sure they probably had more than 8-9 months to actually put this together.
Yeah, you know what? So like it would not annoy me that much if just the fielding AI was a little weak and all that. I've also noticed random things like once I bowled a wide, okay, like a delivery that's like going completely outside the pitch. Like it's so far away that it should have gone for 5 runs in the sense that ball reaches the boundary and you bowled a wide. So 4 runs for boundary, one run for wide. You should get 5 runs easily. Yeah. But what I've noticed is that like the ball is going outside of leg stump somewhere. The keeper is diving on the other direction, outside of off stump. Okay, so keeper is diving to the right, ball is going to the left. And the keeper somehow still manages to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like how can that happen? It's not like physically possible, right? And there are basic bugs. Like you throw a ball towards a keeper. Keeper will catch the ball, like act as if he's catching the ball near the stomach. But the ball is actually like in the animation, you can see it over his head.
Yep.
So those bugs I can still tolerate, but like a keeper jumping on the right and the ball going to the left and still like he's somehow catching the ball, that's just like absurd. I can't understand how that is even possible.
Fancy cricket, bro.
Yeah, so I mean, they've taken unrealistic cricket to a new level, clearly.
Yep.
But you know, if you ignore those things, if you're like not a stickler for like heavy quality, heavy duty animation and all of that, you will still be fine playing this game because it is, the core loop is fun, I would say that. Like, you know, especially if you're batting. While bowling, once again, like this is a weakness with all cricket games, I feel. While bowling, somehow they don't make it that easy or that engaging or that interesting. So, I don't know, maybe some future cricket game will fix this. But as of now, at least, you know, I personally enjoy batting a lot more in Big Bash Boom than bowling. So, yeah, I think that sums up my journey or my return to the world of gaming. What about you guys?
Mike?
So, finally finished Red Dead Redemption 2. Took a month. And yeah, it was worth it. So yeah, played that. Did run into quite a few bugs and glitches though towards the end playing on Xbox One X. I think it does generally have less stable performance, even like it's obviously like running at native 4K, but like it shouldn't be. Because on PS4 Pro playing at 1080p, it didn't have any of these performance issues. Played that for about 15 hours and like dropped it, like finished the whole game on Xbox. Other than that, replaying this game called Danmaku Unlimited 3, which is on iOS and Switch. It's a bullet hell game. Damn good soundtrack and all, and like really cheap, at least on mobile. It's on Android as well. So, yeah, just that.
In my case, I've been playing Final Fantasy 13 on the Xbox One X. The combat system actually holds up quite well, much better than I initially thought it was back in the day when I played it back in 2010. It's a lot better than the combat system in 15, I'll say that much. And it's probably one of the best combat systems in the franchise since Final Fantasy X, in my opinion. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. And it's really nice because what's really cool with this one is that it actually recaps the story from where you are. So my old save file works, everything works. And it's quite easy to get back into, which is, you know, just the little things that other games don't do as well, like Persona 4 Golden. That aside, been replaying Kingdom Hearts 1 in anticipation for Kingdom Hearts 3. And it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's aged
horribly.
Oddly, I'd say. I think the term is odd. I mean, I still find the platforming really, really floaty. And I find the combat to be fun, but, you know, really dumbed down. But it's still interesting nonetheless. It's still got its own charm. The music's pretty epic, though. So, yeah, I've been mainly playing those two. Those two aside, yeah, Just Cause 4 on PC. It's really, really good. Well optimized. We're getting around. Maxed out everything. Every detail maxed out. Every setting turned up to ultra or the highest setting possible.
Wait, why are you playing that game? Just Cause for the president.
Leave to never return. Yeah, so been playing that and it's pretty good. I mean, surprisingly good. Much better than Just Cause 3. Though I don't see too many people jumping on board this one because a lot of folks were pretty much felt shortchanged by Just Cause 3 with its technical issues. But this one's pretty good. So if you're listening in, yeah, give it a shot. Check it out. So that's what I've been playing quite a bit. And probably looking forward to PUBG, PS4 and Smash when they hit.
Yeah, man. Episode 100 is not complete without mention of PUBG.
Or Fortnite.
Season 7 will be out by the time we record next.
Yeah. Alright, so just looking back at some of the episodes we have recorded previously, you know, Mikhail was just doing this amazing exercise before we recorded this episode and he found that some of our predictions were actually true. If you go to gadgets.netv.com/podcasts and click on transition, just look at some of the headlines.
The ones which have questions.
Yeah.
Like the Diablo coming on iOS.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, that was epic.
And will PUBG replace Counter-Strike, and it kind of did it.
It's yeah. already happening. And what's funny with PUBG replacing Counter-Strike is that we've seen that happen wholesale last week. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Acer, and cornily named Knight of the Predator. Yes, lulzy name. Knight of the Predator gaming tournament. I don't want to call it esports. It's basically a gaming tournament where they actually went with PUBG over CSGO because it allowed them to get more people into play. That was their logic straight up. And we've seen this even from other esports guys over the years. We've seen Gaming Monk say straight up that PUBG is going to give Counter-Strike a run for its money. That's happening. And I mean, it's reached a point where no one can ignore the game, to the point where DreamHack is actually having PUBG as a part of it. IGX, which is famous, whose founder is famously known for saying there is no esports, just multiplayer, embraced PUBG too. So we've seen PUBG Mobile be a part of it as well. So, I mean, PUBG in one form or the other, be it PC or mobile, is a thing. So that happened.
Yeah, so transition is where you come to for predictions in the world of gaming. We're all like reading tarot cards every single day before we record the episode. And in general, you know, Rishi Alwani is known as the Nostradamus of gaming world.
No.
Why Nostradamus? Painkiller is a better Judas Priest album.
No, man. I'd rather be the Senior Chang of the gaming world.
Alright then. That's all we have for this episode of Transition. And we will see you with another episode next week. Now, in the meantime, what I would like to say is that the music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. If you listen to us via any of these podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and Google Podcasts on your Android phone, please rate the show, subscribe to us, like us, whatever else you want to do, because all these things, they really help us a lot. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And please send us your questions, comments, and feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening, and there may be something more to this episode. Stay tuned.
And then aside from these, you have Sunset Overdrive, which a certain friend of the podcast
is importing from Japan.
Despite owning, I think, 20 copies of Sunset Overdrive, probably more copies of Sunset Overdrive than have sold in the entire India region, hasn't even played the game yet.
Yeah, played 6 hours, come on.
Yeah.
Which in Mike's universe, 6 hours means nothing. It's basically He just like booted the game up and was staring at the artwork and textures and that's
totally,
it. Because it's the same guy who's played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for like 220 or something.
Yeah.
Still going strong.
Yeah, exactly.
The old NNID system is one of the worst account systems ever, and we do not need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why, at least until the new console comes out, I refuse to buy digital games on Nintendo systems. But yeah.
Yeah, so even the new one is not great. I mean, for example, Mario Run, when you first sign in to that game, they ask you to select your country from a list of countries. So you like basically scroll through an entire list before you find your country. Things like that don't really make me very optimistic.
I mean,
this.
Nintendo's not, UI is not their strong point.
Yeah.
They're like in the middle of Microsoft and Sony on that front, but... Yeah.
Yeah, clearly nothing to be particularly optimistic.
They're trying
about.
To figure out how to bring that recurring monetization to Diablo. And which is why one of the rumors that was doing the rounds, it would be called Diablo, it would just be called Diablo World of Sanctuary or something of that sort, where it's not just a single player campaign, it's a longer campaign over a period of time where there's more opportunity for them to make money.
Yeah. So
one
Diablo of
Diablo 76?
No, it will be better than that. The NPCs
Sanctuary roads take me home.
The NPCs won't be dead.
So could one of these projects...
And I think we'll have to just wait and see until Battlefield's out to take a final call, because if this ends up being like Battlefront 2, then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so instead of like loot boxes dropping out from the air, you like sort of fly in the air, you pick them up or something.
Oh no, imagine this, 100 loot boxes drop from the sky, only one survives and you have to pay to open it.
It's not a game, it's
Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the most interesting topic on this planet, which is Xbox All Access. Now, Microsoft really wants you to stop buying consoles and games and just pay like one single subscription fee, which works out to a really low price per minute, if you think about it, and enjoy all of your games. So will it succeed? Will it not succeed? Is this a good move? Is this not a good move? To talk about all of this, we have our games editor, that's Rishi Albani.
Hey, I don't think anyone looks at buying stuff per minute, but okay, we'll go with that.
All right, friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani is here to extol the virtues of buying per second.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you start talking about the value of a game or value of a purchase per minute, you're kind of getting into Steam reviews territory for when people complain about how games are only 3 hours long if they've spent, like, ₹5 or something. Well, not ₹5, but yeah.
Welcome to Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing a lot of things around gaming, such as Forza 7, WWE 2K18, PSVR, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Call of Duty World War 2, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and... what we are playing this week.
Again.
Yep.
Is this a remaster of last week's podcast?
Yeah, seems like.
All them shooters blurring.
This podcast is Xbox One X enhanced.
World premiere.
Timed exclusive. Anyway, so that's...
it's too early in the morning for it.
Yeah, I'm about 60% through it and I'm planning to play it thrice. Finish all the three endings. Because in this game, apparently, you can buy all the trophies. You can get yourself a platinum trophy by buying the gold, silver and bronze trophies.
Watch out next year as Pranay tells us how cool God of War is.
Yeah, so speaking of consoles and games that are actually relevant, let's talk about Nintendo. Yeah, and I always felt that PUBG's biggest weakness was that it was PC only for the longest time. When
The thing is, PUBG like is paid, first of all. That is a big barrier. But PUBG has a huge base in China. To the point where Tencent actually has like, they have their own PC version as far as I'm aware.
Yes.
Which is the official version for China, even though like people play the Steam version in China. Tencent actually developed using their own in-house teams or using basically their own funding. They developed two PUBG games for mobile. One of them is a more arcade version, which hasn't launched outside China yet. The other one is actually PUBG Mobile, which is basically... PUBG for mobile. Yeah. And that had a soft launch in Canada a few days ago as of this recording, and now it's available worldwide. I mean, it's not technically in every country, but it's out in the US, Canada, and it's out in India. I believe some European countries don't have it yet.
Yeah.
But the thing what I found interesting is I knew this would happen, because the moment Fortnite announced they were doing a Battle Royale game, I knew it was going to run and look better. Now, art style is subjective, obviously, but... it's the same situation as when you have teams at EA using DICE's Frostbite engine. You'll have a game that looks like very good and all. It probably runs also very well. But Frostbite engine is like DICE using Frostbite is a whole other experience. It's the same as this, because Epic makes Unreal. So obviously they're going to get the most juice out of it. And we've seen that now both on console and on PC, because Fortnite uses variable resolution on console and hits 60 FPS almost throughout on all consoles. PUBG, on the other hand, it probably dreams of hitting 30 FPS on the Xbox One S. I haven't tried it on the One X yet, but it looks terrible. Like, I just compared screenshots that I took from the Xbox One S version to the iPhone 7 version. And
So
it kind of reminded me of Shadow of the Colossus on PS3 versus PS2. To some extent, it's pretty like embarrassing for how the state it is in on Xbox.